Welcome, welcome, welcome. Today, we start a brand new series called Fatal Distractions. Fatal Distractions. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, Justin, I think we all need, like, we're all a little bit distracted. When you say, like we all, distractions is a problem, and I think a problem in all of our lives. But there is some distractions that cross the line from being a problem to being more of a disaster. And so the reason why we're doing this series is because we don't want this to be you. Check out the screen.
No, Harry, no! Don't look at the light!
I can't help it. It's so beautiful.
Some of you parent that kid, don't you? It's like, no, don't, you know, play chicken with the cars on white sands, right? Don't, and it's like, you know, it's like certain kids are just like drawn to disaster, and you're like, well, you're the reason, you know, maybe you're like, well, I'm the reason why they have leashes for kids now. Have y'all seen those? You know? Because they just go off. I just protect my kids so they can make it to their 12th birthday. You know, that's like some of you parent kids like that. Some of you have friends like that, and it's like your full-time job is to make sure they don't go into disaster. And you're constantly calling them. They're like, hey, when so-and-so calls, you call me right back. You know, I'm there to help you. And it's true about our kids, it's true about our friends, but let's just be honest, some of us are like that bug. We're drawn to something that can be very, very destructive. Now, when we talk about fatal distractions, we're not talking about necessarily real literal, like you could die, but some of us are drawn to something that could destroy our marriage, could destroy our integrity, could destroy our relationship with our kids, could destroy our trust with others, relationships, friendships. As some of us are setting ourselves up, whether we know it or not, and usually we're the last to know, we're setting on a path that's very dangerous and is not just a distraction, but it could be a fatal distraction. So, you know, thinking about this, I'm like, well, then when does a distraction become fatal? When does it cross that line? And I came across this author named Colin Babb, and he wrote a book, and I'm going to butcher this because I'm not Russian, but Desinformatia and the Cold War. And he writes about this, and this is so fascinating, I'm sorry, I'm just a history nerd, so let me have this quick little moment. During the Cold War, the KGB was all about this. This is a new term that the KGB came up with, and its scheme was basically this. We're going to pump all kinds of propaganda, half-truths, lies, for an express purpose, and they would have people infiltrate Western media to propagate this agenda, right? And the question is, what is that agenda? Well, the famous chess player, Garry Kasparov, said this, did this tweet in 2016. He says, the point of modern propaganda, this is so good, isn't only to misinform or push an agenda. No. It's sadistic. It's more subtle than that. It is to exhaust your critical thinking to annihilate truth. I'm like, that's it. That's when a distraction becomes fatal, when you and I have exhausted our critical thinking and our guard is down. And maybe you're sitting there right now and you're like, I don't have a word for it, but I think you just gave it to me. My critical thinking right now, Justin, is exhausted. There's too many inputs. There's too much noise. There's too much misinformation, disinformation, all, and I can't keep everything straight. And I just kind of throw my hands up and go, I'm just exhausted. And if you're exhausted this morning, man, I'm glad you came to church. Because you're not the only one that deals with these critical thinking exhaustion. But Paul wrote to a group of Christians in Ephesus. And when he wrote this letter to him, this is a beautiful letter. It's the book of Ephesians. It's in your Bible. And at the end of it, he gives these like marching orders in Ephesians chapter 6. It is so good. Please read it for yourself. In fact, you probably need to read it 45 times before next week, right? It's so, so good. And so he kind of lays out and he helps those of us who feel like our defenses are down because we're absolutely exhausted. And you're like, Justin, I'm already exhausted and November election hasn't even come around. I don't know if I can handle another commercial. I don't know if I can handle this. So for that, this is what Paul says to the Christians in Ephesus and to you and to me. This is what he says. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Can we just pause and say amen to that? Oh, that was weak. You didn't sound strong. You sound exhausted. Well, let's pretend you're strong this morning. Let's say a big amen to that. Let's go back. Here's the thing. It's not the strength that you possess or the strength that comes from you, but it's in his mighty power. Strong in the Lord, and that's why a lot of times we're exhausted because we're trying to do this by ourselves and we forget the God of the universe says, I've got enough power for every single person in here. You may be exhausted, but you're relying too much on you and not enough on me. Be strong in the Lord. Okay, so how do we do that? Verse 11, put on the full armor of God. Huh. If there's armor, that means there must be a battle. If I need armor, that means I'm in a fight. And could it be that I'm in a fight whether I know it or not? Just put on the full armor of God. So that, again, henna clause here, so important, so that you may take your stand against what? Help me. The devil's schemes. Put on the full armor of God so that in this battle that you and I may or may not realize that we're in, this fight that we may not fully understand that we're in, we're supposed to take a stand against, and this will, armor will help us to take a stand against the devil's schemes. So the question is, what are these schemes, right? What is his strategy? Well, Jesus outed his strategy in John chapter 8, verse 44, when he basically said, he called him the father of lies. He basically said this, that he is the father of lies, that deception is the devil's main operation. Now, you may think your computer is possessed of something, but that's not what his main focus is your computer. Or you may think that your two-year-old is possessed of something. They're not, right? They're just taking after you. No, just joking. I'm sorry. It's amazing where they learn that from. It's deceptive ideas that the devil, his main focus, if you're like, Justin, do you believe in that? Yes, I do, because I can't explain evil any other way. There's something outside of us that is influencing us. And so I love John Mark Comer's book, Live No Lies. It's a wonderful read. I think everybody should read it. But he kind of explains it like this, because this is what the strategy of the enemy of our souls is deceptive ideas. And he plants those deceptive ideas into our disordered desires, which the scriptures call the flesh or self-centeredness that we all have. A deceptive idea that plays to disordered desires that become normalized in a sinful society, the world. And that's what we have. A progression of deception that can take root in a culture. And if it takes root in a culture, then you have something you're battling against. And it all, if you follow the breadcrumb, it all starts with the lie that we believe the lie, and we're happy to believe the lie because it fits our self-centeredness. And enough of us believes that lie, we normalize it in a culture, in a society, and that's where we struggle with. We're struggling with the deception, but we've embraced the deception, and others have also embraced the deception. And so that's what Paul's kind of talking about. And he goes into more more focus there in verse 12. And I think this is, oh, this is so good. I need to read this like every day. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Oh, that is so good. Because I don't know about you, but I see a lot of flesh and blood that I'm struggling with. And some of them I live with, right? Anybody? We struggle and we think, and Paul's like, no, your fight's not with them. Well, it feels like it's with them. No. He explains what's behind them. He says, their struggle's not against flesh and blood. It's against rulers. Huh. It's against authorities. It's against powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil and heavenly realms. What Paul is saying is there is an unseen world that's influencing the seen world. And it influences the seen world through deception. Now, this terms like rulers, authorities, powers, spiritual forces, boy, you're like, think of jurisdiction, right? Think of a city police officer, as soon as you're outside of city limits, has limited jurisdiction. A county sheriff outside of Otero County has limited jurisdiction. Their focus is on this jurisdiction. Have you ever had a situation when you struggled with someone and you're like, man, I just can't get through them. I love them and hate them all at the same time. Has that ever happened? Ooh, well. Or I'm all by myself on that. I felt like I was all by, no one supported me on that. Everybody's like, no, that's all you, preacher. And thank you, appreciate it. I feel love this morning. No. In the struggle, you're like, well, I love them, but I want to strangle their neck at the same time, right? And it's, yeah. And what it is, it's not them, it's the mindset behind them. It's the ideology behind them. It's like, I love them, and then we're politically like, we don't see eye to eye. I love them and want to strangle them, but it's not strangle them. It's that mindset that's behind them. And this unseen world, deception, plays the disordered desires that normalize a sinful society. It forms an ideology. It forms a mindset. And if you've ever struggled with someone and in a fight with someone, it's not them. It's that mindset that you're battling. Because you really love them. But you battle with this mindset. And if you get enough people thinking the same way, you're battling an ideology. Have you ever met someone that had this poverty mindset? And you're like, it's like everything's a fight. All resources are lacking. It's like we have to find, like, oh, hold off. There's enough toilet paper at Walmart. Isn't that the strangest thing, that in the middle of the pandemic, everyone wanted to make sure that they got toilet paper? That's a poverty mindset. It's, I want to make sure that we're good to go. You know, it's that mindset, the poverty mindset. Or have you ever met someone that had a victim mindset that they seem, is like, no matter what you said to them, you're brave, you're strong. No, I can't. It was like they were powerless. They were imprisoned on their own ideology or mindset. They were just imprisoned by this. It's like, you, no matter what you said to them, it's like, hey, read this book, listen to this preacher, do all this kind of stuff. It's like you couldn't break through to this mindset. It was this victim. It's powerless. Or this isolation mindset. Boy, that's pretty prevalent. Isolation mindset that removes the, I'm just going to stay away from all people. I get it. I understand. But never asking for help. It's like, I just want to, and if We've all ran into someone that dealt with this, but did you know you get enough people that think the same way together, you have this ideology that permeates an area. Everybody with me, okay? Groups of people that have this victim mindset, maybe poverty mindset, maybe that isolation mindset. That is what Paul is saying, that there's enough people that believed in a lie that came from the enemy of our souls, and they've internalized it, and they've become imprisoned by it. So when you battle against anything, you're not battling against them. You're battling against that mindset. He says, so this is how you battle. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. He goes on, verse 14. To stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. And then as I begin to notice it, I was like, if the devil's schemes is deception, then that means the armor of God's main ability is to protect us from deception and distraction. And I begin to see these verses differently now, because maybe you've seen these verses before. Maybe you have them like, you know, on a washcloth somewhere. That's like a Christian washcloth. And like, verse 14, of Ephesians, you know, stand firm with the belt of truth. Now, this idea of the belt of truth, and I think Paul is absolutely genius, and I believe he's inspired by God to, like, as he's writing this. The belt of truth is he's picturing in his mind that first century Roman soldier, that everything is secured together with a belt, right? Their armor is all connected, and it's not good if it's not separated, but it's all connected with a belt. And he says, I see that belt as the belt of truth. So how does truth help us fight deception and distraction? When we understand that it's not relative, it's an absolute, it's something that we can lean on, that it can help us. All the other armor can base off that. And also the breastplate of righteousness in place. I love how these are kind of two similar ideas, because righteousness is what God defines as right. So how does the breastplate of righteousness, how does righteousness help us to defend against deception and distraction? It's when we understand that God has already spoken and defines what is right. And when we align ourselves with that, it makes life a lot easier, not easier in following, but it's easier to discern, because he's already decided. Options are off the table. He's defined it. It's righteousness. He goes in and says this, verse 15, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, that this gospel message is a powerful message, that Jesus Christ came and made it possible for you to have peace and for you to have peace with God. It's that powerful, that helps fit our feet. Goes on, verse 16. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith. Or you could put in trust, faith or trust, interchangeably, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. He says that you need your shield, because if you just want to be a spectator, guess what? Spectators get a shot with arrows. And that you need to have your trust, your faith. Well, how does faith, how does trust help battle against deception? And it's when you have understood that, God, I trust your plan and I trust your way. That goes a long way in helping you and I defeat and defend against deception and distraction. And then verse 17. And the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I love these kind of two elements here. Salvation of, hey, the way you combat deception is when you fully understand that my future and my present is assured in Him. And I'm protected. There is something about when I understand my salvation, I'm secure in my salvation, then that helps combat against deception and distraction. And the word of God. I love this about the word of God, because it's a sword. Which, when I was growing up in church, I always loved this. I was like, cool, give me a sword, right? Sword is both defensive and offensive. The word of God is so powerful. It has the ability to dismantle deception. And that's why it's so important. And then he goes on to say this, verse 18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert. Why? Because we're in a battle. And always keep on praying for all of the Lord's people. And so, as I'm reading through this and I'm seeing, okay, it's against the devil's schemes, and the devil's schemes is all about deception, and the armor of God helps me combat deception and distraction, and I don't want to be Harry the bug that goes towards like, oh, it's so beautiful, right? I don't want that to be me. I don't want it to be you. And then it dawned on me. I'm like, wow, it's this. We have everything we need at our disposal to combat every distraction and deception. Let me just read that again, because I think some of us are sitting there go, I don't think I have it all. No, we have everything at our disposal to combat every distraction and deception. Everything. But if you're sitting there going, well, Justin, I still get duped. I still get distracted. I still get deceived. Could it be that there's something missing? Could there be an armor that's missing? I think in my own life, there's certain things that I always seem to get tripped up on. Could it be that there's a missing armor? And that Paul said at the very beginning, no, put on the full armor of God. And I need that full armor. And if there's something missing, could it be the very thing that's tripping me up is because I'm missing that piece of armor? And then I thought about the armor of God. Well, the armor of God is both the gift of God, gift from God, but it's also a practice. Now, we can sit here, you know, this morning and go, amen to all these different pieces of armor, but it's one thing to be gifted something, but if you never use that gift, what good is it? So not only is this armor that we got to put it on, but it's a practice as we put on this full armor of God. So as I'm going to be talking through the armor again, I'm going to give some questions. And one of the things I want you to kind of think about is there something missing? Is there, as I'm reading through these questions, are you like, ooh, I think that's me. I think I'm missing this piece. This is why I get tripped up a lot. This is why I find myself in a tough situation. Because I'm missing an armor, missing a piece. So let's start with the first one. Truth and righteousness, right? It's the breastplate of righteousness. It's the belt of truth. And I begin to think about the importance of this in your life. And I begin to think about the importance of having a community that celebrates that. So the question for us to wrestle with is, do we interact with a faith community that celebrates truth and righteousness? Do we interact? Or is, if we were to kind of take a scan of all of our friendship circles, would we sit there and go, yeah, we talk a lot about sports, my kids' soccer, you know, and they're doing really good, and talk a lot about politics and all that kind of good stuff, but do we ever talk about spiritual matters? Do we ever have spiritual conversations? Do we ever move past in our community circles, right, where we move beyond just kind of the surface and say, do I have a space in my life that celebrates truth and righteousness? Because when I put myself around people that celebrate truth and righteousness, I'm more apt to follow that truth and righteousness. Do you have that piece, or are you missing that piece of armor? Okay, what about the gospel of peace? And I thought about the gospel message of Jesus. And have I allowed the gospel to transform me? Now, I know you go to church, you know, and I know you have a cross around your neck, but has that symbol of the cross of Jesus so transformed you? And have you taken seriously what Jesus has done for you? It's one thing to wear it as jewelry, and it's a whole other thing to live it out as a lifestyle. Because I'm here to tell you, if the gospel hasn't, if you feel like you're lacking being transformed, could it be that you haven't quite taken seriously what Jesus has absolutely done for you and for me? It's transformative. The gospel message is absolutely transformative, that you can be at peace with God and at peace. And then what about the other one? The shield of faith, you know, trust in God, faith in God. I thought this was interesting as I was thinking about a question. When was the last time you struggled to trust God in something? Yeah. When was the last time? You see, faith or trust is also like a muscle. And if you go to the gym and you do the same weight training and you never go up on your weights, and you're going to be like, I wonder why I'm like plateaued in my exercise. Because your body needs to be pushed. Your body needs to be stretched. You need to be pushed to a new level. And trust is the same way. When was the last time that God put something on your heart to trust him in? And you're like, oh, I don't know about that, God. I don't know. I mean, you're asking me to take that step? When was the last time you had that struggle? Because struggle indicates growth. Struggle indicates that you're expanding. You're moving to a new place in him. And so when was the last time you struggled to trust God? Or maybe that shield is not so big of a shield that you need. Trust God in something. What about salvation? I thought about this. Am I secure in my eternity? Or am I insecure about eternity? I mean, a lot of Christians that are like, well, I hope I make it to heaven. I'm like, you live on hope? You hope you make it? That's a big thing. And you're like, well, I hope I do everything right. And I thought about if I'm insecure about my eternity, the Bible talks about insecurity. And he says, perfect love cast out fear. So insecurity is just another face of fear. So if I'm afraid about something, if I'm insecure about something, that means I've not allowed God's love to permeate that area of my life. And if I'm insecure about my eternity, that means I've not allowed God's love to permeate that area of my life. I may still be leaning. And the reason why I'm saying I hope it's because I'm thinking I'm trying to do something instead of embracing what Christ has already done for me. Ooh, I needed an amen right there. I think y'all missed an awesome opportunity. We're trying, and that's what we're letting people know. Oh no, I'm kind of in this middle of I'm trying, you know, I've got some bad habits I'm trying to overcome, and I'm doing some things, and it's not, eternity isn't of how you're doing right now in your process of being what we like to call in theology world sanctified. It's a sanctifying process. No, I'm secure in the love of Jesus. I don't have to wake up, back in the day, I got to tell you, I live this. I was so insecure about my eternity because everyone back in the day were preaching about the rapture all the time. And so every time I was alone by myself and I thought, oh no, the rapture happened. I missed it. Constantly, I can't find my parents. Oh no, I missed it. That showed this insecurity that I was not perfected in the love of Jesus. If I'm constantly thinking, oh, I missed it, I'm not seeing God correctly. And then the Word of God, I thought about this. Do you have a habit of reading and studying the Scripture? And we think, you know, of course I could expect to hear that from a preacher. I mean, and like, of course you want me to read and study the Bible, but why? Is it because I'm like, well, you know, it's, and you could read, you know, last, you know, a really cool novel and then throw in the Bible in that too? No. The Scriptures have the ability to dismantle any deception that comes our way. And if we're not familiar with the Scriptures to dismantle the deception, we could fall for it. But the more I'm inundated by the truth of Scriptures, the more it sets me up to be able to discern truth and error. I'd like to leave us with this question. Has your critical thinking been exhausted by life? Maybe that's you. You're like, man, I feel like I couldn't put up a decent defense even if I wanted to, Justin. I'm so burned out. I'm so done with everything. I'm done with all the bickering and fighting and infighting and so many inputs. I don't feel like I'm prepared. If there was ever a time that followers of Jesus needed to take the scripture seriously, I think it would be now. We're exhausted. There's so many things. God says, I've got a plan for your exhaustion because I need you to stand. I need you to stand because you're going to face some things that's going to try to boil you over. He says, I need you to stand. I need you to have the armor to be able to stand. This is a gift, but if you don't practice it, you're just going to be like the straw man pushed over. I need you to stand. We have everything at our disposal to combat every distraction and deception. But will we use it? Will we use it? Or will we just be in another person sit there like, I'd like to fight, I'd like to stand, I'd like to make sure I'm not deceived, but I don't have the energy. And so I thought about a group that's going to be going off to college or going to be going, starting their careers. I thought about the seniors. And some of you are like, well, I'm a senior citizen, you know. I'm talking to you too, I guess. All seniors, right? I think of the seniors, you know, going off to college. And what's really cool is I'm going to get the ability to speak at baccalaureate tonight for our seniors at Alamogordo High School. And so I don't know why they ask me, but I'm going to do my best. But I thought about how much as a senior, when you're going off to college, you're a freshman in college and you go on the campus, how much you're going to be sit there like you need to put on the full armor of God. This is a lot of people that have been there and done that, bought the t-shirt, and we were having some missing armor here. Don't do what we did. Put on the full armor of God because there's going to be deception. There's going to be distraction. And you need to stand firm and be able to stand. Not in your power, but in His mighty power. So let's all stand up at this time. You know what I'd like to do, if you'll allow me? Y'all let me pray for the mothers last week. I would love to pray for the seniors. And if you want to sit there and go, well, I'm a senior citizen, that prayer's for me too, that's okay. You can receive it. But I want to pray for seniors specifically this morning, okay? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, there is so much that's going out there. And it's easy to be lulled into this. I don't know where I would need to stand and just kind of give up and just go with the flow. But you didn't call us to be someone who floats through culture. You called us to stand. And sometimes that's standing against some things that we may feel like we're all by ourselves in. Sometimes taking a stand looks like not doing what everyone else is doing and being looked at as weird. Sometimes taking a stand is making your voice heard in a sea of opposing voices. But Lord, may we see that and understand that we're in a battle. And our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against ideologies. It's against mindsets that has been so corrupted by our flesh and worldly desires and the world. And Lord, the only way we can survive is when we put on the full armor of God. So God, for every senior, may you bless them, may you hold them, and may they see themselves as a part of the family of God, even though they're thousands of miles away. Guide him and direct him by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Hey, go find a senior and give them a random hug. We'll see you next week.